Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I just want to tell you what a joy it is, again, to be able to bring you some tidbits from the Word of God. They're little nuggets of gold and wonderful thoughts, and I hope these thoughts and these things are helpful to you. I hope you can take them into your hearts, and those whose hearts are damaged can become clean again and serve the Lord Jesus. Saints, stand up and be counted. Saints, stand up for Jesus. Well, last time we were together, I shared with you from the expression of the Apostle Peter in verse 6 of Acts 3, the words, "such as I have, give I unto thee." I would like to go back there, and I would like to continue the discussion this way. I would like to say to you first off that the Peter and John had the Lord Jesus Christ practicality as their method. Jesus was enormously practical. You can read it for yourself. Peter once spoke for both in this little piece of scripture for Peter and John. Peter did the speaking. But once he spoke for the whole 12. Jesus said these words, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, some say you're Elias, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this great prophet come back from the dead. But we know," after Jesus had said to him, "but whom say ye that I am?" "We know," he said, "that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus had to say this to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, let me ask you a question, as I often ask myself, and the question is this: am I aware that Jesus is the Son of God? And if he is the Son of God, am I aware of the authority of his name? And in the authority of his name, do I live day by day? In the authority of his name, do I live moment by moment, kept in his love, moment by moment, having peace from above? Is this where I am? The answer has to be yes. Now, Peter spoke for the 12. You can read it for yourself in Matthew 16 and verse 15 in particular. But when we read here that Peter lifted him up, you can see that the name was not enough. Jesus works through human agents. He employs our energies, uses our hands in order to reveal his purposes in our day. Bartimaeus was led to the great physician. It's a marvelous illustration of the method that Jesus used. The method is really quite a simple one, because to make the Redeemer known to the unredeemed is necessary. And you and I need to show people Jesus day by day. Do we use our hands to reach out to others? Not even prayer can substitute for practical action in winning the lost. Knees work, hands work, and the work goes together. When we are being super spiritual, we need also to employ super practicality. You see, Peter and John had the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit as their power. You and I have the same power. It has far-reaching effects, and it had it in this day's work. If you go to Acts 5, you see that they are still under its influence. Peter, before, was hostile to his own thinking. He was frightened. He was in a room shut in, and he hoped nobody would come from the outside, so he would shut them out. But now he stands in front in Acts 5 of hostile people, and the authorities are very hostile. And listen to what he says: "We are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Dear saints, for Jesus, do you obey him? The practicality of the usage of obedience is enormous. But as we use that obedience, we find ourselves face to face with the Lord God Almighty. "I and the Father are one," said Jesus. And because we are one together, we are one in the newness of life. If I'm in this newness of life and I have this oneness with Jesus, then I can ask what I will and receive it. I can seek what I may and discover it. I may knock and the door will be opened unto me, because we are one in Jesus and the authority is ours. Now, I may be preaching to people who have lost their hope of any authority but a political authority, or the authority of some great politician or some usurper of authority. I'm not concerned with those things. I'm only concerned with one person, and his name is Jesus. He is above all. He is in all. He is through all. He is one. We are one in Jesus. We are one in the Lord. And I want to share this with you because it's so important. You see, the fullness of the Holy Spirit had been given to these men. You can discover it all the way through the second chapter, how it was that the Apostle Peter stood up and he just delivered a mighty, mighty sermon. And people who had come, they were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome. He says, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. They heard the tongues because God was interpreting. The word tongues in that piece of scripture, I am told, simply means languages. Everybody in their own language heard. Throughout the world today, the gospel of our Lord Jesus is heard in languages galore. I was recently talking with some Gideons who deliver thousands and millions of New Testaments and Bibles to hotels, motels, and hospitals and schools and so on. You know, it is an important thing to discover that the Word of God is life. Oh, it is life. Without it, we fail. But you see, the filling of the Holy Spirit drives out carnalities, and it gives consistent enthronement of the spiritualities of the holy life. It displaces weakness with strength, fear with courage, and failure with success. There's no need to be one of these waffling, failing Christians. There is no need to have a dying faith, as some people seem to have. It is actually absolutely important for you and I in this day to have newness of life. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, let's go to verse 12 of Acts 3 and see that these people were greatly wondering in Solomon's porch. And when Peter saw that they were there and wondering, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, brethren, I realize that through ignorance he did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now we're in those days where the Lord Jesus is surely coming soon. Now notice these words, such as I have. Peter had sympathy, authority, practicality, and energy. His possessions were his debt. He did not own them. He did not owe them. If you want to become rich, give. This is not an appeal to give to this program or to this radio station. This is an appeal that you give to those that are in need around you. It seems a long time ago now, but it was just a few months ago. I was just out of the hospital, and I was feeling very ill, and my wife wasn't very well either, and some friends came to just say hello. And they knocked on the door, and they came in. In retrospect, I realized that they were trying to work out how they could help us, but they didn't know how. They were checking up what we were going to eat that evening, and my wife didn't seem to know what we were going to eat. And they were checking out what help could they give. It was so remarkable that a couple of hours later, they turned up with all sorts of food for us, and we ate. And for the next 5 weeks, the dear people of our church in Christmas Valley made sure that we had food for every meal. And we've fared sumptuously, I have to say. I put weight back on that I had lost because of being in surgery and in the hospital for a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, I realized these dear people had been so generous to us. They met our need. If you want to become rich, give away. Give. Keep on giving. Some people brought us food from their abundance. Other people, they didn't have very much to give. Yet it was all given in the name of Jesus and given in love. And we both rejoiced in the fellowship of the gospel. Now, I would like to say two things to you especially. I cannot give what I do not have. That's plain stupidity to do that. Sometimes people want to give, but they have nothing to give. I have learned that I can ask the Lord to give me something to give to another. I have learned that if I ask him, he will give me that money. He will give me that gift. He will give me that whatever. And I can give to that child or that person, those friends, or whoever it is that is in need that the Lord has brought across my thinking. That day, I can give them a gift. It's not my gift. It is the gift of the Lord Jesus given through me. I am only a channel. All that I have is not mine. Now, it's really difficult sometimes for us to give up. But the more we give, the more we have. I cannot retain what I have unless I give it away. That's the second thought. If I give it away, I find that the Lord blesses me more and more. The more I give, the more I have. The more I have, the more I give. And it's a sort of strange and interesting way to live. Ask the question, am I truly giving? Am I passing on the true riches of the Spirit bestowed upon me? Am I doing that? Is my life a fresh and fruitful one, or am I in the Galilean area or in the Dead Sea area? The Dead Sea is all bitter and barren. Both are fed by the Jordan River. Why the difference? The Sea of Galilee takes the water in and gives it out. The Dead Sea has no outlet, none at all. And so the water gathers there as if it were in a reservoir and turns into salt. You can see around this area where we live, how many of the lakes are turning salty? The alkali is taking over from the water because the water is trapped and cannot get out. and it turns to alkali. It's a chemical reaction that happens between the salt that is in the alkali and the water that gets in amongst it. And so we have very salty areas in this part of the state. Now let me liken that to what I'm talking about. And I liken it this way. We need to be a Sea of Galilee. As the Lord pours in blessing, so we pour out blessing. And the practicality of the presence of the Holy Spirit will be ours. If, on the other hand, we keep what we've been given and hide it under a bushel, we become a dead sea. It's kind of important to see some of those things. If you get into the Acts of the Apostles and clearly see what goes on, you can analyze this third chapter in three ways. You can see what actually happened. That's from verses 1 through 10. You can see why it happened to the township in verses 11 through 16. And then from verses 17 to 26, it is revealed how it happened. You may ask the question, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Luke uses medical terms to describe the congenital paralysis. Greek for feet refers to base or heels. The heels of your foot and ankle bone refers to socket for ankle and heel. Leaping up describes the sudden locking and socketing of heel and ankle. They suddenly joined and linked. The language indicates what would have taken place at the time that this happened, and it happened in a split second. Real healing comes from Jesus. It is an amazing thing. We don't see too much healing in the days in which we live, but a friend of mine told me this story that he was in India, and he had gone with his guide and one or two other people to a most remote area. They had to cross a lake to get there, and they had to paddle what he called in wicker-like saucers. And he said he was terrified of being drowned, but they seemed to be waterproof, and they got to the other side of this lake, which took several hours to achieve. And when they got there, the people who years before had heard from a missionary that Jesus healed bodies met them at the shore of the lake. And they said, come and see what Jesus did recently in this village. And they took my friend and his colleagues to a hut where a man was sitting and was rejoicing, obviously, the report that I got, and smiling and welcomed them to his hut. And he showed them his feet. He couldn't speak their language, so an interpreter interpreted for them. It appeared that he had been out walking and suddenly he'd stepped on a very sharp thorn. The thorn had gone up into his foot, for he wore no shoes. He hobbled around for a little while, but by the time he pulled the thorn out, his foot was a festering mass, and it was terribly infected. Now, they couldn't run off to the ER at the local hospital. They didn't have one. And they didn't have any doctors or nurses to come and help him. And so the elders of the village that he lived in said, let's go to Jesus. Now, this sounds really ridiculous in our day, but it's true. This is the story that was told. The top of his foot and the underside of his foot was just a suppurating mass. The poor fellow couldn't walk and he had a terrible fever. And he obviously was going to die. They prayed and they asked the Lord Jesus to heal this man. And while they were looking at the man, somebody said, look, the swelling is going down. And his foot that was so swollen and suppurating, the swelling simply went down. Then out of the sore came all this pus and horrible stuff that one collects in such a wound. They watched as the skin came across the wound itself and sealed, and the foot was cured. Well, these people, they only had two or three hymns that they knew, but they sang those two or three hymns most of the night in praise to God and thanking him for what he had done for this man whose trust was not in the Lord Jesus, was now certainly in the Lord Jesus. And other people in the village who had lost contact with all thoughts of Christianity understood that Jesus, though he were dead, yet lived, because, look, this man was healed at the result of prayer. You may think my story is far-fetched, but I have to tell you, not only did my friend, who is a pastor here in Oregon, but also the local pastor from a couple of churches in India who came over here to visit, told the same story. They were there. They watched what took place. Amazing is the story. Now we come in this story that the congenital paralysis that was there was something that nobody could look after and nobody knew how to heal. But he leaps up and then he stands up and then he praises God. What a tremendous thing. If Jesus were to cure those of us that had not been well, I believe there would be great praise and leaping. There would be a great thing taking place. These joints of his suddenly joined and linked. And the language, as I've said, indicates what would have taken place. It happened in a split second. Now let's look at one more thing to finish the thinking around this story. And that is, let's look at the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus carries authority and power. When we pray in the name of Jesus, and the authority and the power comes upon that prayer. Peter made personal contact with the man and the Lord Jesus. Peter's spirit-filled life and spirit of life working together. The Holy Spirit, the divine healer, now is available through the agent of the Pentecost-powered, willing, expectant, trusting representatives of the church. You and I should be those people. We should be able to give God the glory. We should be able to say that in times past there's been ignorance in our people, and we have not been very clever nor careful how we have portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be a people that come together and say that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. There is an answer to the problems of our country. There are answers to the problems of our society. There are answers to the problems of our families. There are answers, and you will find them all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be that the preachers say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. I give to the inquirer. I give to the lost. I give to the person in need. I give. Let me give you a gift, the greatest gift of all. Let me give to you the knowledge of Jesus. Let me say to you this, that when you put your trust in him, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when you put your faith in him, though you be crippled in any department of your soul or life, he can interlock what's unlocked, and he can cause you to jump with joy, to leap in the air, and full of praise and glory to God in the highest." You see, this is what the angels meant, I believe at least, when Jesus was born. They said, "Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and glory in the highest." Glory! It brings glory to Jesus. It brings glory to God. For God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. That today you may believe this Lord Jesus Christ. You may believe in this wonderful God Almighty who doesn't want to zap you, who doesn't want to terrorize you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants you to come to him and learn that God is love. You listen to our politicians. Do you hear any love? Not even love for country comes out of most of their mouths. They don't even love our country. Never mind the individuals in the country, and if they don't love the country, how can they possibly love us individuals? But God is love. He is the experience of love. He is the fullness of love. Will you receive that love today? Will you receive that power today? Will you be healed of your illnesses and spiritual needs today? Well, come to Jesus. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, draw with the cords of love and bind our hearts to you and cause us to rejoice in Jesus your Son. O God our Father, we love you. Bless us now and keep us in your peace, please, and cause us to repent and believe you. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name, amen. Now look for a miracle. Look for miracles in your life. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless you.